Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks for being part of our program today as the week begins here on a Monday with the crossroads of so many sports at once here, obviously. The NFL begins actual Super Bowl week. College basketball, we're getting to February and it is time to make your move or step aside. The NBA closing in on their all-star break. Even hockey, for the hockey fans out there, had their skills competition. The NFL, by the way, also played, which I really had high hopes for, and evidently it was very popular, the flag football part of it, which was very cool. And
I think so, they went 7-on-7 or whatever.
I hope they stay with that. So that should be entertaining going forward. And I'm sure they'll make it better and better. Even golf gets underway. So there's stuff everywhere going on. And it's a time to kind of take a look. We're far enough along to take a look at some of the teams and who are the real contenders and who are the pretenders. And also look back a little bit at where we got or how we've gotten to where we are. This is the thing I was struck by today. Is usually, in almost any year, we come to this part in the year and we say, yeah, okay, well, that team has got a really good chance to be in the Final Four, even though they're not a quote-unquote, you know, blue blood, meaning a team that, like, for example, who would you say are the blue bloods of college basketball over the last, you know, I don't know, 20 years maybe? Because you can't go all the way in history. I mean, CCNY, City College of New York, is the only team to ever win the NCAA tournament and the NIT in the same year. You could play in both of them way, way back. I don't think we're going to be talking about them as one of the blue bloods. No disrespect to our friends in New York. But the ones that are the blue bloods, you know, I just did Kansas game against Iowa State, and this is now Bill Self's team has lost, I think, I'll tell you exactly. They've lost that game, which they got swamped in. Iowa State just drilled them. Going into that game, they beat Kentucky, but then they lost to and they beat Kansas State. So let's see. I want to make sure I get the chronology right on these games here. So, I think it's they lost to Baylor. They got walloped by TCU. Then they beat Kentucky. Then they beat Kansas State. But they had lost three games in a row for the first time in Bill Self's era here. They got beat by Kansas State in overtime. They got beat by TCU. I'm their bad luck charm this year. I was their good luck charm last year. Every time I seemed to have their game, they got wins home, way didn't matter. This year, I did the TCU game at Allen Fieldhouse, and they lost by 23, and were down by more than that. I just did the game, as I told you, over this past weekend, where they lost to Iowa State, a team they had beaten by two at home. They lost by 20-something. What was it? They lost by 15, but they were down by a lot more than that. So, anyway, long-winded way of saying their stretch here does not exactly bode very well, but he's a really hard guy to get discouraged. Bill Self, I've always admired that about him, man. I mean, they work hard. They go to their practices. He's tough. He's tough on them, but if they lose a game, I remember the year they lost to Kentucky by like 30 in the Jimmy V in the Champions Classic, and I think they went to the Final Four that year, but they certainly, well, at least they won the Big 12 again when they had that streak going for like forever. So, I mean, you look at what's going on here, and let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Their last five games, they've lost. They beat Kentucky, then they beat Kansas State, and then say so they're 2-3 in their last five games. And I bring up the defending national champions, 2-3, because you look at the rankings, and, I mean, is there a possibility you can have four non-Blue Bloods in this Final Four? I mean, it depends on how you interpret Blue Bloods, too. I mean, Purdue and Tennessee are number one and two in the country, and they're obviously from power conferences, but are they... When I think of Blue Bloods in the recent era, I would say, going by the rankings right now, UVA is sixth. Arizona might even be a stretch, but okay, we'll throw them in there. They're fifth. Kansas is eighth. Baylor is 11th. UCLA is 9th. Gonzaga is 12th. Who else do we have in the Blue Bloods? The other quote-unquote Blue Blood teams aren't even ranked. I mean, you've got Duke and North Carolina. North Carolina started the year at number one in the country. They're not even ranked. Duke's not ranked. It's just, it's incredible how the landscape, North Carolina, again, because they do the others receiving votes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they would be 31st. And I didn't think Duke's getting any votes, which is unbelievable. So, I mean, you've got, the reason I bring that up is because, is there a chance that you could have a Final Four of non-traditional Blue Bloods this year? I mean, Houston is very, very good, legitimate. They're not in a Power 6 league, but they're very good. Alabama was, I thought, the best team in the country for a while. And then, of course, I had their game where they got walloped. I'm just I'm a curse on people, I guess. So, you know, then, again, depending on how you interpret, well, certainly Kansas is one of the bluest of the Blue Bloods. They're eighth. UCLA, okay, I'll even throw them in there. They're ninth. Baylor, as I said, is 11th. This is in the AP. I mean, so you could you have a Final Four? What do you do with Purdue? I guess you'd have to put them in as a Blue Blood, right? I mean, they were a play away from going to the Final Four the year Virginia won it. So maybe. But, I mean, certainly not out of their own possibility. You could get an Alabama, Houston, Purdue. All right, but they're Blue Blood. Let's leave them out. Let's say they get upset. Sorry, Matt Painter. But
you need to turn up just a hair. But more importantly, you need to make this a Bet Rivers Twitter poll. Somehow.
Well, how? It's impossible. How are you going to do that? Unless you just do a yes or no and define your power, your Blue Bloods. That's the problem. That's why it's a talking topic more than it is a...
No, I think you could do
Twitter
it.
Twitter poll.
You're right. It's a better talking.
I'm the one introducing the topic, and I don't know what the answer is. I mean, because there's a couple things at work. One, who makes the Final Four? Obviously, that's the issue every year. Number two, how do you interpret Blue Bloods? I mean, that, like, Alabama's in a great league and very, very good. But are they a Blue Blood in basketball? No, we're not talking football here. So they're unusual, you know, Final Four teams. I mean, that's, you have to go through and open another window here, and I don't even know if you could do it. But let's for S&G, it's probably not going to make it more complicated and maybe not even clear anything up, because what I want to ask is, who's made the most Final Four appearances? I mean, you know, and that is, again, suppose we did this and you have teams like CCNY, and, you know, that's not going to really help the discussion. But I guess they've been Division III so long, it would probably be representative. So let's see. Let's do the rankings of Final Four appearances, because that might help us determine if they're Blue Bloods or not, and maybe help you put the poll together, because you could make get that list and see what the number is to put you among the top, I don't know, 10 teams in Final Four appearances. You know, that might help, because that would give you a pretty good idea of who's been strong for a long time. Here we go. This is Exactamundo, what I'm looking for. Total Final Four appearances. All right. This is good. This is very good. North Carolina has 21, more than anybody in history. UCLA has 18 with an asterisk. You got an asterisk, it means you've had one appearance vacated, not included in the total. But if you want to talk about the ones that they actually played in, so that would still make 19 for UCLA. Duke and Kentucky are third, tied for third at 17. Kansas is fifth at 16. Michigan State and Ohio are 10th are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They're tied for 6th. Ohio State has one vacated, so they really have 11. Michigan State has 10. Indiana is tied with Louisville on the official poll of What would that be? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're tied for 8th, but Louisville's got 2 vacated Final Four appearances, so they would actually be a 10 if you do by ones you played in. So that would put them in a tie for 6th with, well, again, if you do the vacated ones, the real order, without ties, because this would break ties, for the top 8 would be... North Carolina with 21, UCLA with 19, Duke and Kentucky with 17, Kansas with 16, Ohio State with 11, Michigan State with 10, tied with Louisville with 10, and then Indiana with 8. Okay, so there you go. So that's the so if you do those, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, then it's a log jam at 6, but I'll tell you what, since we're doing the giving them the benefit of the vacated ones, Michigan would also have 8. So there would be your top 10. North Carolina, UCLA, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, Michigan State, Ohio State, Louisville, and Michigan. All right, so that's what you have for your basketball blue bloods in Final Four appearances. North Carolina could go. I mean, they were ranked number one, but they're not even ranked now, so that's unlikely. UCLA is pretty highly ranked. They have a good chance, but the Pac-12, not very strong this year. That's been a bad harbinger of things to come. Duke and Kentucky, both unranked. Kansas is a very weak Kansas team relative to the defending national championship team. Michigan State and Ohio State are not going to the Final Four in all likelihood. Indiana's not going to the Final Four. Louisville may just miss it. All right, sorry for the sarcasm, but they're not going. And Michigan, also extremely highly ranked early in the season. And where are they right now? They are in the also receiving votes. Not even there, are they? Wow. Wow. That's unbelievable. Now, many of these teams were projected in the preseason to be real chances to go to the Final Four, and they're not even ranked at all. So, I mean, does that seem far-fetched that you could have none of those teams in the Final Four? Right? I mean, still, Kentucky, they can do – the potential is very high there, you'd think. I guess when they've been good, they've been pretty good. But when they've been not so good, they've been not so good. How's that for profound analysis?
That was awesome. Good work, Pops.
Thank you. Yeah, you might want to put that on the – you know, for the bonus hour. That was really on the money. North Carolina, again, potential. But I don't – you don't feel great about North Carolina, UCLA – or Kentucky. I mean, so there's any of those teams. Kansas, early maybe you would have, they started okay. You would have thought they would have a great chance, but they have, like I said, this is very uncharacteristic. He doesn't have much depth on the team. Now, they're nicked up a lot right now. That's also true. They've got serious injury issues, but they are not a great deep roster by any stretch. I don't know who. I'll ask you another way. Who of those 10 do you think has the best chance to go to the Final Four?
Now, that you could make into a much easier Twitter poll.
Well, we're going to have a hard time. You allowed 4 choices, and there's 10 teams. So
we'll pick the 2 that you think and put that as the caveat. Put the 2 know. That you...
I have no confidence, frankly, in any of those. I mean, if you want to ask me who I would have the most confidence in, I would say... In terms of, you know, which teams on the whole spectrum, not just those 10 teams, which I have the most confidence in. I think Purdue's legit. They're really good. They got a great big man, and they got every single first place vote in the AP top 25 voting. That tells you something.
Even so, after the upset to IU and TJD going off?
Well, isn't this current? Maybe not. Because today's the day they released the new rankings, right? So I thought these were out already, but maybe not. But... I got to think they'll still be number one, unless they can put Houston in here, which is possible. I don't know. We'll see. But regardless, I think Purdue's legit, and they've got a terrific coach, and they've been deep March runs of late. I really, really like Alabama. I like the way they play. I think they, you know, have a really good chance. Again, the naysayers who give you that line that I can't stand, when you rely on the jump shot, you know, that's the knock. And I know offense wins games, defense wins championships. Well, for starters, they're pretty good. They're pretty damn good defensively. Secondly, you know, they are a good offensive team, but they don't just rely on, you know, live by the jump shot, die by the jump shot. I don't think it's quite that simple. So I still think they're really good. I'll see Virginia Saturday hosting Duke. That's the ESPN national game that I'll be on for the ESPN radio. So I'll see them in person. I like to see a team in person before I get too strongly making a vote. But I mean, I after those two, I haven't seen Houston yet, and I don't think I will. I don't think we have them on the radio. I really wish we did. So I don't. I might put them in that class. They're really sound. They defend. They're really good on both ends of the floor. I think I'm rooting for Rick Barnes to do it because I like him. I think he's one of the nicest guys in the game. But I don't know. I don't know what to make of them either. So I'd have to see them, I think, one more time. So I mean, I don't know. I really, honest to God. And I don't know. Gonzaga looked like they were strong, and then St. Mary's. Who's good, but they don't even rank. They're ranked also. They're 18th. So I don't know. I'm calling all over the map here because that's how I see the landscape. I mean, I saw TCU. I was like, man, this may be the best team Jamie Dixon's ever had. And now they all of a sudden kind of semi-fallen off the cliff. Iowa State is really good. TJ Otzelberger, man, that dude can coach his brains out. So I don't have a really strong feeling. We'll find out something maybe about Miami tonight because they take on let's go back here. I thought they played tonight, don't they? No, they don't. It's Miami's just coming up. I don't think that's correct, is it? Here it is. I knew it was right. Miami takes on Duke. That'll be a good barometer for Duke also. Miami is 18-5. Duke 17-6. Miami's ranked 19th. Duke is unranked. It's a 7 o'clock game tonight. I think that is a game that'll be a good barometer for both of those teams. See where they are. If Duke can get a win on the road against Miami, Miami's 2.5-point favorite, by the way, in that game. And Duke, frankly, is still Duke. I think John Shire's done an admirable job for his first year. But we don't know how good anybody is. The highest-ranked team in the ACC, after Virginia, I should make that clear, is Clemson, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that right? And I think they're good. And if you get to play home court like they do in the NBA, all right, then maybe you have something. But on a neutral court, how deep can they go? I mean, I just don't know. That's the landscape. The landscape is UVA at 8, Miami at 19, and NC State at 22. It's sad for Louisville's got such a weak team so this year because this is not a great ACC year. In fact, I think they might even be the sixth best conference in the country. I know out of the Big Six, I think Sagarin has them sixth. I have to go look that up. But I mean, this was a year you could have got a kind of respectable run going in terms of you certainly could have been middle of the pack without being great. I mean, Florida State's not great, and they're 6-7, which is not awful. It gives you an idea. I mean, they're 6-7 in the league, and they're 8-16 overall. Means that outside the league, for you non-math majors, they're 2-9. That's an unusual ACC year. Usually you can kind of, if you can be around 500, you can be right at 20 wins or so. I mean, if they played so many games, you get right at 500. My brother used to say when it was only 14 games, you played the other seven teams double round robin. He used to say 7-7 and go to heaven because he thought that was, you'd get in the NCAA tournament in all likelihood if you played a reasonably constructed non-conference schedule. I mean, 14 league games, that gave you, well, what would now be 16 non-league games. Back then it was only, 13 non-league games. You'd play 13 non-league games and 14 regular season games in the conference. That's 27 games. So if you went 7-7 in the ACC, you had usually somewhere in the neighborhood of five, money games. You pay guarantees that you should win all of them. They should all be at home. You should win all of them. And so you'd have yourself there. You've got 12 wins already. Then you got, so what are we up to? We're up to, you got your 14 league games, five of those pop games. That's 19. Still got eight games to go. In those eight games, you'd hope that you'd have 50-50 games, basically. If you had to play that many, some years you wouldn't. Some years you'd have guys playing seven guarantee games, which already gets you up to 14 wins, and then you've got six non-conference games, of which if you go 500, you got yourself 17 wins already. And keep in mind, 20 was you could make the tournament with 18 wins, 19 wins back then, because they were playing so few games. So if you got even one win in the ACC tournament, you went 500 in your 50-50 games. You won all your BOP games, and you went 500 in the ACC. You're staring at 19, 20 wins. And that was it. Go to heaven. There's your ACC. There's your
NCAA. What's the definition of a BOP game again?
You write them a check. They come to your house. You kick their ass. They take their money, and you get away. Hey. Yeah, that's pretty straightforward. And sometimes, you get big headlines when you got that upset when – you know, a small team went in and like, you know, that's why Louisville's year's turning out so disastrous, because they didn't win any of those. But they won one of those bop, quote unquote, bop games. They beat A&M. That was it. So so it's the same kind of principle today. If you're almost 500 in a league, you get to play more games now, remember. So, you know, you still have those 10 games. If six of them are bops, you go 500 in the league, you're up to 15 wins. And then if you go 50-50 in those 50-50 games, you win half of them, you're up to 18, 19 wins, and you got a representative schedule when the league is strong, because all those 20 league games are against good teams. And then you got those 50-50 games, which, you know, are generally against good teams, quad ones, whatever you want to call them. You know, it was much less scientific then. They didn't have the quads, they didn't have any of that stuff, but you had name brands. Like, I mean, if you had a schedule that somebody was looking at and, you know, you had, I don't know, Florida State on it, and you had Syracuse on it, and Notre Dame, I mean, you'd have a schedule. If those were all your non-league games, it would be crazy. You wouldn't play three teams from the same league non-conference. But my point is, you wouldn't have the people, and it's better that, you know, that's more scientific than just guys who are sitting in a room and, yeah, they're usually good. Let's, you know, that's a quality win. You know, we'll put that team in. It doesn't work that way anymore. But the fact of the matter is, looking at this league, it would have been a perfect year to be around. I mean, you know, Syracuse gets mocked for their schedule, but they're not really that good, and we know that. But they're 7-6 in the league, 14-10 overall, which means they're 7-4 outside the league. So one of the off years for Syracuse, and they're still 7-4 outside the league. So there's, you know, they have a chance. They're probably not going to get in the NCAA tournament, but, you know, that was kind of the recipe. And he's followed it for years. You know, he doesn't travel. He plays all his non-league games are in New York. I mean, he's a strange breed of cat when it comes to how he runs his program. But I think he's, frankly, it's catching up with them a little bit. Not only the ranting about NIL, but the fact of the matter is, you know, you can't just sell your name anymore. Here's Syracuse, 20 win team again, and they go, no. I mean, it's, I don't know who they're favored for. This is a good example, though. They're a good subject for what's going on for the rest of the year. They have 7 games left. Say 7 regular season games. How many of those would they be favored in? I mean, let's see. They play Florida State. That one, Syracuse is actually favored at Florida State. I'm not going to go through the whole rest of the schedule. We'll just do it off the top of our head. They host NC State. It's still a tough place to play, but I'm sure they're the underdog there. They host Duke. They go to Clemson. They go to Pitt. They host Georgia Tech, and they wrap up their regular season hosting Wake Forest. I mean, they'll be lucky to get 3 wins out of that bunch. So, you know, you're talking about 17-10. Right? I mean, no, what am I talking about? They would be in the league. They would be, they would lose 3 more, but they would be 11-9. No, they'd be lucky to be 10-10. So that's not going to be good enough. But, you know, years ago it would have been when the ACC was the ACC. And it still, by the way, shows you that no matter what you say, for all the scientific data and the metrics and everything, you're still a product of perception to some degree, because Clemson is in first place in the league. They're 10-3. Pitt is 9-3, half game behind them. UVA is a half game behind them at 9-3. NC State and Miami are both a full game behind. They're 9-4. And the 3 ranked teams are the ones that all trail Clemson and Pitt in the standings because they're better brand names. UVA, NC State, and Miami. Those guys still at the top, not getting a huge amount of love from the voters anyway. But that's the reality of it. You're always going to give the benefit of the doubt to the Dukes and the Carolinas. I mean, I heard it. Everybody was mocking it. That because NC State, good Lord, North Carolina and Duke's game over the weekend, which didn't disappoint, by the way, very, very good game. You know, they built it up again on the promotions for ESPN as if they were two powerhouses this year. They're not, but that's going by their heritage and their history and the rivalry itself. And, you know, so that's, and I listen, I've said this many times before, numbers don't lie. And the fact is, especially around Super Bowl time now, until the Super Bowl clears the deck, until football checks out of the hotel, they're always going to be, you know, manning the, they're going to be driving the bus, they're going to be checking you in at the front desk in the hotel. Pick whatever cliche you want, but that's the reality. We love college basketball here, but on the pecking order of interest nationally, it's not that close, especially not till you get to March. I mean, when March comes along in conference tournaments and you start getting buzzer beaters and then all that, the interest level really peaks. But the fact is, and it's got nothing to do with the format, it's still hard to get in. There's still big games. 68 teams out of the 350 or whatever it is, I always forget the exact number, are you know, that's still not an easy task. So, but the fact is, it's not for the general fan. You know, here we're basketball crazy, but not so much the rest of the country. So, you know, as evidenced by the TV ratings we always get every year here in Louisville, whether a Louisville team is in, a Kentucky team rather is in or not, they still get unbelievable ratings. So we pay a great more attention to it than the rest of the country. So the rest of the country knows Duke, Carolina, and they promoted the hell out of it. But the fact of the matter is, you know, they're not powerhouses this year. So it goes all the way back to how I started this segment, which is who the hell is going to the Final Four in terms of the historic teams. And I would make a case, you could say, if you're just joining us, the most Final Four appearances are the North Carolina, UCLA, Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, Michigan State, Ohio State, Indiana, and Louisville. And then there's a gaggle of teams tied: Arkansas, Cincinnati, Houston, Michigan, Oklahoma State, Syracuse, Villanova. So, you know, that's way more than 10. It's 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Top 16 teams are those teams. I mean, all right, let's, out of those 16, the best chance to make a Final Four probably is Houston. I mean, that's the reality. So it's, and no disrespect, but they haven't been a dominant team of late. So it means you got a bracket that is shaping up for not only non quote unquote blue bloods, but you know, non power six teams. So I wouldn't want to put a whole lot of money. The other way to look at it is there's so much uncertainty. If you can identify one, you feel really strong about one, you can probably get pretty decent odds on just about anybody. It's not one of those years where, you know, you'd be lucky to get even money on a team to make the Final Four, because you'd have to be very, very foolhardy with your money, I think, to put a lot of stock in how you can tell who's going to make the Final Four out of the group I just mentioned. Because I think Purdue is probably the best chance. No accident, they're number one. And they've only made two Final Fours in their history, one of which was here in Louisville. I remember Rick Mount playing for them, watching it on TV in Freedom Hall, and he had a terrible shooting night and didn't work out so good for him. So, anyway, there's the... by the way, if you're interested in trivia, how about this? Most NCAA tournament appearances without reaching a Final Four. You want to play a red light challenge?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. How many teams have played... who have the most NCAA tournament appearances without reaching a Final Four? Let me do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Top 10 teams. Yeah, and you'll have a hell of a time, I think, with this. This will be tough if you get... two or three of these, I'll give you a victory.
Is that most tournament
appearances? They've made most NCAA tournament appearances without reaching a Final Four. The top team has made 30. The next comes 28, then 24, 23, 22, and 20.
If you listen carefully, you can hear Jack Grossman screaming at the radio and me messing these up, because being the basketball Benny he is. But all right, first one I'm going to do is someone that ruined my bracket every year in high school, Pittsburgh.
Pitt, it doesn't have that many appearances.
So okay.
Or either that, or they made a Final Four. Could be they made a Final Four.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was wondering if they made one.
I don't know. There's so many teams listed here, so I'll never be able to find it that quickly. But that's not one of them.
Mm-hmm. All right, teams that always make the Final Four.
I'll give you a hint on one, because one of the teams is located in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and they actually made a Final Four, but they had to vacate it.
Western.
You got it. So you got
there
one.
There we go. All right. There's one. At least there goes the shutout. Let's see here. Temple?
No.
Not making.
I'll give
final
you some more
four.
Hints. This is really hard. Even being a basketball Benny, you'd have a hard time with one of these. One of the team. Well, let me do this. How about this? One.
How about this?
Two. Two of the teams are in the SEC.
Two teams in the SEC never making a Final Four. Okay.
With the most appearances.
Most appearances, but never making a Final Four.
Correct. They're both very highly ranked this year. Now I'm really giving you
hints. Yeah, I was going to say, you're giving me tons of hints now. Tennessee.
Correct.
Really?
24 appearances, never made a Final Four, and never like been in one and had it vacated, never made a Final Four.
Okay. Bama?
Bama, you got them both. Wow. Bama's been 22 times and never been to the Final Four. So that's why I say, you know, as good as they are this year, and I think those two teams could make, either one of them could make the Final Four. I really like Alabama. How do you call them a blue blood? It depends on your interpretation. I mean, if you're talking about simple volume of making the NCAA tournament, then they're very good. I mean, that's a lot of appearances, but neither one's made the Final Four. One is a...
Let me go by Power Six, and then maybe...
Oh, there's actually another one. I forgot. They're in the SEC now. And this is talked about all the time when Tim Sullivan joins us.
Missouri.
Yeah, they made 28 appearances, never been in a Final Four. So there's three SEC teams out of those 10.
All right, how many in the Power... Big East, how many?
One, two.
Providence ever make a Final Four?
Oh, yeah, with Patino.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there you go. Jack is currently on a flight to kick my ass. Let's see here. St. John's made one, right?
Yes, with Lou.
Yeah, that's with Lou Carnesecca. No, I don't think they've been in the Final Four that many times.
That many times? What do you mean? We're talking about never been in a Final Four.
No, I'm sorry. I meant, haven't made the tournament that much. I was going to say DePaul, but no, they haven't been in the tournament.
Plus, they made a Final Four way back.
Way before, okay.
Way before I was even a gleam in my father's eye. Forget about you. Ray Meyer. Yeah, they were great back then.
All right. I guess Temple already. No, there's been a Georgetown. Right now, there.
There's two teams in Utah.
Utah State?
Correct.
BYU?
22 times. BYU, 30. More than anybody else. BYU has been in the tournament 30 times without going to the Final Four.
Oh, they had a pretty...
And you got the other one. Utah State, 22 times. Never going to the
Final Four. I knew Utah has because I was at that Final Four in San Antonio.
That's right.
Let's see here.
The Big East teams you got to focus on.
Yeah, I know.
Two Big East teams.
I'm trying to go through it. Well, I guess... Is Creighton? I was going to say Creighton.
That's not Chris Mack, but that's one of them.
Oh, Xavier.
23 times. Xavier's the other one, correct. So now
I thought Xavier had been there. That's why, I skipped over that one when I was going through
BYU, Xavier, Missouri, Tennessee, Creighton. You've got the top five right now. Alabama's sixth. Utah State is seventh. Western Kentucky, eight. Those three are tied, but I'm just counting top eight.
Right.
So you're missing one, two, three. Wait a minute. Did I do my math wrong? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, so it's only 9 here. The ninth team is
Pac-12?
Is in the... What the hell are they in now? The Atlantic 10, I guess. Part of the Big 5. That really narrows it down. Do you know the Big 5 for the fans scoring at home? It is Temple, Villanova, St. Joe's.
Penn,
and who am I missing?
Villanova, St. Joe.
LaSalle.
So it's one of those. St. Joe's?
You got it. 21 times, technically. They forfeited one. So 21. Oh, so there's actually one. I want to do the top 10. That's only 9. So the two teams that are tied for 10th, we both have ties with, one of which is in the ACC, and one of which is in Kentucky.
Wait, not Western? There's another one in the Commonwealth?
Yes.
It's got to be either Murray State or Morehead.
Pick one.
The Fighting Mitchell Hannigans. I'll go with Murray State.
You got it. All right, nice. So you're down to one. You've done okay here with some clues, but not bad.
Yeah, no, big time.
The other one is...
Another one in the ACC.
Correct.
Most tourney appearances without a Final Four in the ACC...
They have 18 NCAA tournament appearances, and they've not been to a Final Four even one time.
All right. let's go through ones that we know have. U of L, obviously. UVA, obviously. Duke, obviously. UNC, obviously. NC State, obviously. Not Pitt, because I already guessed them. Dare I say it? Clemson?
No. Clemson, I don't think they've been to the tournament. Or they've been to the Final Four. I'm not sure which. I'm not sure why they're not on the list. But it is not them. This team was pretty good in the Big East, which is why they got a lot of tournament appearances, but they've never been to the Final Four.
Well, not Syracuse. Who's the other Big East team that made the jump?
Gary Williams, Al Skinner, Tom Davis. Tick, 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 tick.
No, tick. No, no, no. Miami.
No, sir.
Damn it. I was just going with the team that was in the Big East, so I don't know.
Well, come on, man. They're really good at college hockey.
Oh, God. BC.
That's it. Boston College. There you go. You rounded it out. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. A nut. I mean, that's one of those lists that's good news, bad news. I mean, that's a lot of NCAA tournament appearances. Those teams should all take a bow for that. Clemson, by the way, is on this list. They made 12 NCAA tournament appearances without going to a Final Four. But a whole bunch of teams have made more than they have and still haven't gone to the Final Four. So there you go. So there's your stoplight challenge. Your stoplight challenge here, as we talk about the uncertainty of the NCAA Final Four participants. That would be rather entertaining.
That was fun. I mean, I got like a million lifelines, but yeah, that was fun. I wonder how
called
the text
all
ended.
Your friends.
Yeah,
very, very, very popular. All your friends. Time to start thinking about all that. I mean, you could spend an hour just looking at this chart. Appearances by team, which is very cool. Appearances by school. That is, I mean, that would be a fabulous more or less category.
We can play a game more or less later.
More or less. I mean, you put all these together. This is just appearances by school. Very, very entertaining. And by the way, is that true? I think, if I'm not mistaken, despite the fact... Well, no, that may be wrong. I don't want to speak out of turn here. I mean, the first year, the Final Four was literally eight teams. They met... They brought... it was only, is that right? Four teams. They took two from the East, supposedly from the East, and two from the West. And, you know, the Pacific Coast Conference, Oregon, represented them, and they represented the West, along with Oklahoma, and Ohio State and Villanova represented the East. And so the Oregon beat Ohio State for the national championship. There were four teams and stayed four teams. But the point I was making is this has actually started during World War II, and the only year that they've not had a tournament was the COVID year. It was the first year in the history of the tournament, starting in 1939, that we never played. We didn't play a tournament. That's rather remarkable. Almost every other sport has had an interruption for something. And this was the one here in 2020. Not held due to COVID pandemic. So, these charts are great. It goes by conference. It goes by Final Four appearances, total appearances, runners-up, championships. So, damned entertaining. But I don't like... Wow.
By the way, Purdue is still the number one team in the country.
Yeah, I thought
according to the AP. Your AP top 25, Purdue with 38 first place votes, Houston with 22, Alabama with 1, Arizona with 1. Texas is 5th, Tennessee 6th, UCLA 7.
Made a big plunge.
Yeah.
Who's 7?
7 is UCLA, Virginia is 8, Kansas is 9, Marquette 10th, Iowa State 11th, Kansas State 12th, Xavier 13th, Baylor 14th, St. Mary's 15th, Gonzaga 16th, TCU 17th, Indiana up to 18th, jumping I think 3 spots, Miami 19th, Providence 20th, UConn 21st, NC State 22nd, Creighton 23rd, Rutgers 24th, and San Diego State rounding out the AP top 25.
Damned entertaining, I tell you.
Florida, Atlantic, Clemson, and Auburn fell out of this week's poll.
Going to be a fun run. So just by the way, now to switch gears, because the other topic, and we'll take a break here, but so what did the linemen do in the, like the linemen didn't get to play?
They did. I didn't watch a damn bit of any of the All-Star action this weekend. I don't say that
necessarily.
I wanted to watch the
flag football one, but I only get one day in town, so I was running like a million errands.
I feel bad. It's very hard for any All-Star game. That's why the baseball one remains the best, but it's really, really hard for any of the collision All-Star games like hockey and football to really play. But I think they did like a test of strength.
Yeah, I did see that.
Like they were pulling like 100-pound weights off of a thing, and like I don't know, but I just know that one dude, Wilson, I forgot his name, but he pulled like six of these giant plates like at once, just like pulled them right off of the little conveyor belt. So I don't know. That's kind of the issue, you know. They're doing the best they can, but as John Bull.
Oh no, I think both those sports have made drastic changes for the better. The hockey 3-on-3 is still playing hockey.
Well, and it's fun.
It's fun, and they're still keeping stats on it, goals scored, and the players talked about how much fun they enjoyed it, and then the football yesterday, all the guys in the flag football game raved about it. I mean, they
7-on-7, like, and that's a lot of, you know, that's a thing they do a lot during the showcases and everything like that. So I know that's become really popular and it's fun, but as John Bull said, he was like, I tried watching the Pro Bowl and I turned it off. Like, I watched one drive and a guy dropped the touchdown pass because his sun hat got in his eyes, and he was like, I'm done, and he turned it off. Well, so okay. I mean
to each their own, as they say, but it's a million times better than the old Pro Bowl, which was crazy, because
that is true. I mean,
And it's the first year they did it. I'm sure they'll learn from some things and tweak it, and it'll get like the NHL did. I mean, for the people who don't know, the NHL has basically, it's a one-day tournament. They play an abbreviated game, a one division against the other, and then that winner of that game goes into the championship game, and then the other two divisions play, and the winner of that. So it's a very cool little format for 1 day, and it's exciting because obviously the goalies are going to get a lot of shots, so they get to show off their skills and the great scores. Now, I mean, if you're on the All-Star team because you're a fabulous blue line defender who's hammering guys, no, this is not going to be the showcase for you. And the same way, the offensive, you know, left guard is not going to be showcased in the NFL thing, but they still get to be honored. They could figure out something for them to participate in. And you know, no matter what, how you play or where you play, you'll get a chance to be on the ice for the All-Star game. I mean, you may have to play to your weaknesses more than your strength for some guys, but it's still, you know, it's great. The basketball All-Star game, frankly, is the one that sucks now. It really does, because it's 184 to 179, and they brother-in-law it with each other. You know, you let me go by you and bounce dunk it, and I'll let you come and dribble between my legs or something. And you know, that's crazy. It's not very good right now.
The slam dunk contest has lost some luster too.
A lot of luster. A dunk is way more exciting when it's organic. As a guy goes down the lane, and you know, two people come and challenge him, and he splits them, and it's an element of surprise. And you know, the guy's trying to, you know, he's doing it against resistance. The other one, the guy's got a car parked there, and he's dunking over, you know, two rings on fire. I mean, all right.
That was the last time I actually cared about it. Like when Blake Griffin jumped over the Audi or whatever, Audi. And, you know, that was, or I think it was actually a
was
Kia.
The Audi?
No, it was a Kia.
It was a Kia.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a Kia.
Minor difference there.
Yeah, sorry. But he jumped over that. That was the last time I was like, well, that was pretty cool. But then, I mean, at a certain point, it just kind of got, you know, what more could they do without it becoming slam ball?
I'll be honest with you. Here we go. Let's bash somebody. I have no interest, and I'm a sucker for halftime shows. So good. Like, I'm so mad I was out of town for the Louisville game for the Firecrackers. They had the Firecrackers this week. The jump
rope. Is that the jump rope? Yeah, jump roping's good.
God.
Yeah, they're good.
I've never, ever seen them do their show. Literally. Never once. And I must have seen it a dozen times at least, that they don't get a standing ovation. I mean, they're terrific. I miss that.
Red Panda good in that echelon.
Oh, she's still got game. By the way, speaking of that, we've gotten such good response to the Sister Jean interview. I was texting back and forth with Seth Davis, and I don't know why we, you know, he sent me something, and I sent him something. But it, you know, when you're stuck going down the rabbit hole. So here's Seth. Oh, here's another picture. So, you know, there's a picture of him with Red Panda, and he's got all the plates on his head, but they're upside down. So, you know, it's just like he's got looks a like bowl a, on
yeah,
his head. He's got like eight bowls on top of his head. I thought that was pretty cool. There's one that, but the guys who do the trampoline dunks bore me out of my mind.
Really? Oh, I think God. It's fun.
You get a running start. They jump off the trampoline. They're 17 feet in the air. The guy dunks it behind his rear end and tries not to kill himself by flying into the backboard. I don't know. That gets nothing for me.
I mean, I like the flips. And unfortunately, we've come so desensitized to crazy stuff that, yeah, like a dude doing a triple spin and throwing it behind him bores us. But I get what you're saying. It kind of becomes monotonous. So that's
exactly.
So when they do something that really stands out, it's pretty cool. That's saying it's meh. For me, it's right in the middle. I don't dislike it. I don't go whoa all the time. It's sort of like, oh, that's cool background noise. Like, you know, I'll watch it. Like, ooh, but you know what? I'd much rather watch the little kids play or do something goofy.
I agree.
That's not a knock on the trampoline guys. Like, it's fun. It's cool. I love it when the mascot goes flying, and I love the videos of the chubby guy trying to do it and you know, just splatting. Everyone loves chubby guys on
gymnastics,
trampolines
apparatus
and stuff. Yeah, no, absolutely. But I'd much rather watch
at Iowa State. They had their halftime show, and I like this. I don't know why, but maybe because I was so terrible at it. But they brought all these kids from Fargo and Aberdeen. I don't know. There's another city near there in – where's Fargo? North Dakota, South Dakota? Fargo's in North Dakota, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, they bring this whole group together, and there's a lot of them. There's like 50 girls. They're very – it's kind of like the firecrackers for gymnastics – or tumbling more than gymnastics. And they have those long tumbling mats, and they just go one after the other. And they're – you know, I find that stuff amazing, some of the stuff they can do. These are – you know, they're basically glorified tumbling passes, you know, that would be for floor exercise. But the runout's longer, and they string more moves together. You can't string that many things together in floor exercise. But they're spectacular, what they're doing. And then they do the cool stuff to end the show where – you know, the one gymnast comes and there's a small pyramid, gets a running start and leaps over the pyramid, and yay. And then they add another layer, and then somebody goes, and whoa, and they go over that, yay. And then they get to the last person. They had one male gymnast, and he was the end of the show, that they put like a four-tier, it was really high. It was four tiers, a pyramid, and he gets a running start and leaps over the whole thing. And that, you know, is good finishing move if you're a wrestler. So that was pretty cool. So I haven't seen them before, obviously, because Fargo and Aberdeen I think they all came by bus. So these kids, they got a million mats. I can't imagine they check. Would you mind if we put this 10-foot tumbling mat in the overhead here? So I don't think they flew. So, but those are good. And there's the other guy who's kind of got momentum right now. He basically balances the entire arena on his chin. Have you seen that guy?
I have not seen that guy. I think I've seen.
It starts with something small, and then by the end, he's got like a whole dining room set.
Wait, does he like balance like a washer and dryer or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just astounding stuff. That's interesting. That's got a lot of momentum. People are enjoying that. Well, the other guy who I've seen now is, this one is kind of amazing. He takes chairs and he stacks them, and he's at the top of them. I don't know how he gets up there, but he is. And they're not like, I don't know how to describe it. It's not like building a pyramid. They're resting like one leg of the chair, on another leg of a chair, and then he builds another tier. And how he climbs up there and builds this thing, and he's up damn near the scoreboard by the time he's done. That guy's gotten, fans like halftime shows where they're either going to be entertained or they're going to take the talent home in a pillowcase. that's pretty much, I'll be honest, I get uncomfortable watching the trampoline guys because I am convinced one of them's going to splat against the backboard. I mean, that they're coming so fast and going so high, but
it does make you a little nervous. I will say, I fell down a wormhole, and I forgot what these guys are named, but they live in a house, and they're these gymnasts.
They live in a house. Well, of course, they live in a house.
Well, no. I think collectively, they all kind of live in this house, and they have trampolines, like they fall off of a jump off of a platform and they go down to a trampoline and do a bunch of flips and stuff. But they play a game called the box game, where up on the platform is a box and you have to go down, do the trick, flip, and then land in the box. And they play horse, like, you know, a guy will go down and do like a double gainer flip and then land in the box and the guy has to match it. And they are so supremely talented, and they'll you know, jokingly talk smack, or they'll do something funny, like they're sponsored by like Bang Energy or whatever, and they put a pyramid of Bang cans, or like, you know, like a wall of Bang cans, and they have to land into the wall of Bang cans, or and clear. They have to not just do the trick, have to come up and, you know, clear, jump the like the wall of Bang cans and land the trick. And if they don't, they crash into it and everyone, you know, laughs and stuff and cans go everywhere. But I literally watched for an hour and a half these dudes just doing tricks and playing.
Oh my God.
And playing games. And some of them are, I mean, incredible. I mean, the one dude does like a, he always does like a superhero pose. And there's this one tiny guy that's like the best one of the bunch. And they all like, you know, refer to him as, you know, by one name, like, ooh, you know, so-and-so. And he's, like, super nice, and he's always, like, teaching everyone, like, how to do stuff. But they do, they have this other thing where it's two trampolines on either side, and then it almost looks like a rainbow. There's, like, a little, like, I don't know, like, a platform in between them. And you have to jump from one trampoline, catapult yourself off the little, like, platform, and then go to the other trampoline and come back. And I mean, I'll forward it to you. I mean, it is, it's what I call perfect bathroom watching. You go take a poop and you got 15 minutes to kill, and you just watch these guys do
not everybody
these tricks.
Spends
it's
the
amazing
half their day in the john like you, but your point is well taken.
Yes.
As always, active listeners here sent me a link,
and as always, we've shot through the first hour.
Yeah, well, that's what we do. This link came from somebody, and it's headlined the list of the best. Well, it's NBA, but a lot of these people perform. You've probably seen them. I've seen them, and you know it's a good list. The best halftime shows in the NBA. One is one I'm not sure I've ever seen in person, but I think I have. It's Christian and Scooby. Christian and Scooby are a guy who's a very, very good world-class gymnast, but he performs with this little chihuahua, who is actually Scooby's stage name. And the dog's amazing. I mean, he's a balancer, for lack of a better word, as the one guy who's Stony, who's Christian, rather, Christian Stoyanov. He does all these incredible gymnastics things. He turns himself into, they say here in the article, a human inflatable ball, and the dog does that thing that dogs do on inflatable balls. He goes to the top, and you know, he runs on the guy basically, and he can balance himself all over Christian's body, and he comes out unharmed. This video of all these is embedded in the article. Very, very good. I've seen this guy at least by video, and of course everybody loves the little dog. I mean, the guy's balancing himself on one arm on this little prop thing, and the dog is just climbing all over him. It's pretty amazing. So that's number one. Number two, everybody in America has seen. She made it to number two, Red Panda. Red Panda is 5 feet tall. Her name is technically Rong Yu, which I
she was she second. So this yeah. adorable little dog and Christian
you gotta
and
go
Scooby
find the video
are number one.
Oh
wow.
Yeah, you know, everybody who's a sucker for dogs would groove on that. It's a good show. Third is the guy I mentioned. His name, the amazing Sladek. He's known as America's oldest daredevil. It's hard to prove the opposite. 63 years old. The guy's doing handstands and defying gravity one chair at a time. He has more tricks than the Tower of Chairs stunt. He's pulled off to every NBA arena from Philly to Sacramento. But his real name is Gary Borstelman, a former New York State gymnastics champion. All these people have similar backgrounds. They are gymnasts, by and large, and they worked with one of those touring, you know, lack of a better word, Cirque du Soleil shows. He was with the Royal Hannaford Circus. So that's what he's doing. And that's pretty interesting. Number four is a name that people probably will know, at least of a certain generation, one of the Flying Walenda. He's part of the Flying Walenda generation of fabulous circus performers. Simon Aristoff and Lyric Walenda Aristoff. Actually, she is. That's a woman. I apologize for that. They're a team that bring their 3-year-old son with them occasionally, and they do kind of the same things. They're from the Lyric Walenda is from the 7th generation of the Flying Walendas family. So they were members of one of those touring circus groups, and if you've never seen, they do, you know, all those kind of circusy tricks. They have a routine where they balance a piece of flat wood on top of a circular roll, and they do all sorts of gymnastic things on that. So that's one. And the fifth one is a guy, I don't know how he does this, honest to God. If you've never seen him, it's a very entertaining halftime show. I enjoy it. He's the guy that plays Simon Says with them at halftime. Have you ever seen that? He's a professional. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. He brings like two teams of 20 at each end or whatever. One represents one team, one represents the other. And he gets the field out in like no time.
Yeah, he goes right down the line and then,
Just, you know. Jordan, Nick and Jordan, let's go. How you doing? Are they paying you enough? Sure, let's go. Simon, just come here. Quickly. Simon, Simon says there's only one way to settle this in Milwaukee. Simon says, dance on. Well, that's not it. Oh, my God.
What's going on?
He's got little kids, and he's got one little girl. She looks like she's maybe 12, and then a man who won from the other end. And he said, do a dance-off. And all of a sudden, the girl turned and did a whole tumbling pass. She's doing walkovers and flips, and that pretty much decided that. But I wanted to hear him do the actual patter, because it's amazing how he gets guys to do. Because I always think, if I were in that, I would just, you know, stay rock solid still until you're absolutely sure it was time to move. But the problem is, if you do that, so I've watched him, people have had that strategy, he throws you out. You can't just stand there and like wait for 10 seconds. But then if you wait and you then make your move, you're all sorts of out of rhythm with his patter. So he gets you on like the second one because it's like, all right, I survived. All right, now step in here. And then you step up and no, that's it. Now you're out. So it's really amazing how he does that. I was hoping to have the video would be him doing the patter.
Oh, yeah. And he goes right down the line. And
yeah,
he's like,
because
you know,
he says, Simon says, put your hand on your head. Simon says, put your right foot forward. All right, step back. And they say, oh, no, you're out. It's pretty cool. It's very entertaining. So there's your top five. How many have we had in Louisville?
That's a good question. Ask Greg Galley, yeah, because he's had.
Have we had Panda? Have we had the Panda? We've had the Panda.
I'm pretty sure Red Panda's come to Louisville. I thought she might have made some appearances back at Freedom Hall. I could be 1,000% wrong, but I've thought she did. Who's the one? I think unfortunately one of them passed away from COVID. But Quick Change was always.
Oh yeah, he died.
Yeah, was always very. But I think I don't know. I think there's another group that does a trick, and I have no idea how they do this. The Quick Change, when he throws the bucket and, you know, of sparkles, and then she changes the dress in the like confetti, is incredible.
Right. Well, she's hidden from view. Same way, they're all variations of the same trick. Basically, you for a split second you lose sight of his wife, and then she has a different outfit on.
There is one where, and I have someone tweeted this, and they have it from multiple angles. And I have no idea how they pull this off. There's a woman, I mean, to the point where part of me thinks like maybe it's one of those deep fake videos and they're using it for promotional like services or whatever. But someone tweeted it and it's a magician. They're doing a, you know, halftime show and it's very much like Quick Change, but it's not. The guy's just doing magic tricks. And for the finale, there's a chair, and he throws a tarp over the chair very quickly, and in one fell swoop, the woman appears under it. But they show it from multiple angles, and I mean, there is not a square inch that you can see that, okay, it's completely covered. She appears. I mean, I have no idea how she does it, how he does it. I mean, they do it from the front, they do it from the side, they do it from the right, the left, the top, and it's, I don't know where she comes from. Like, she literally just, unless she's very small, and he has her in the palm of his hand and throws her into the chair, I have no idea how she
All right, we're going way down the rabbit hole here, but to this, there's, you know, when you see things like this that just amaze you, have you seen the one, because I'd love to send you a link. It was on one of those talent, America's Got Talent, or We Know What the Hell We're Doing, or, you know, Watch Us, whatever. But this woman is on the stage, And seemingly things are just flying all around her. I don't know how the hell she's doing. She stands in front of a, it's kind of like a variation on quick change where, you know, you're looking at one thing and then boom, something happens and it changes like this colors on a board or something. And she stands there and she walks by the board and then just boom, the board changes. And it's not like an electronic board or something. And then she walks and clothes fly, literally fly across the stage and wind up on her body. It's the most astounding. That, I mean, it was even better than Quick Change, to be honest with you. And Quick Change was great. But this was, I have no earthly idea. Because, I mean, Quick Change, you can understand at least conceptually what the hell's going on. Because if you look, I mean, it's obvious. It's like a person coming out with four different suits on. You know, and you know, you could do it, but you're obviously, it looks like there's a bunch of clothes on you, because there are. And so, obviously, if you know, there's no magic to just taking one jacket off and seeing another jacket underneath. That's the trick to it. By when this happens, you know, the clothes that are furled up or whatever. The point being, you can understand. You walk out wearing everything. It's part of the act. It's just how you can make the appearance of it change without, you know, logic coming in where you just stop the act and you take a jacket off or something. But this, I mean, I swear to you, this thing seemingly flying across the stage. That's what it looks anyway. Obviously, it's an illusion, but that I have no idea how they're doing. None whatsoever. Where are all these things? Where are they coming from? Who's controlling them? If somebody knows the name of that act, send it to me. Because seriously, I'd like to send a link to it for people to watch, because it is astounding. I mean, the first time I saw Quick Change, I was mesmerized. But then you've seen it a bunch of times. It's still impressive. But you get the premise of it, that they're wearing all these clothes. And, you know, and there's a way that they can make one outfit seemingly, quote-unquote, disappear and the next one appear. But this, with the lady, I don't know how the hell this was going on. Seemingly, there are things just flying at random. I've never seen anything quite like this. It's pretty impressive. But I don't know the damn name of it, so... If somebody see, can
okay, all right. I think this is it. Yeah. All right, wait. I'm sending this to you.
You found it?
Well, because I saw it not long ago. A magician has gone viral. Come on, phone. Okay. I think this is it. All right. He throws the thing on the chair, and...
What is it, your act or my act? Which act are we talking about here?
No, I have no idea. I have no idea how this woman
so it's
here.
Your act. It's the act you were alluding to.
Yeah, here, wait. I'm sharing. I'm sending this
to you. You told us about a story about a guy ostensibly throwing a woman. This is not the same act.
No.
So which is the video
this is,
you found?
It's the one of the woman appearing on the chair from multiple angles. And you have no idea how... I'm going to send it to you. I have no idea. I'm going to put it on Twitter. I have no idea how the F this happens. But it's incredible. Like, they show it from...
I wanted somebody to find the name of my act, because that was pretty impressive. Before the trick begins, the assistant sits down and slides the seat back into the throne. This is not it. Babe of Thrones, is that what it is? Woman magically appears in the hot seat.
Here, I'm texting it to you too, which never goes through because your phone hates me for some reason. But pull up that link. Seriously, it's absolutely incredible.
Well, that's I've
retweeted.
We've gone so far down. We've but
that's okay. People,
if
people
you've not
like
seen
this.
These acts. No, if you haven't seen these acts, you'd be astounded. I don't know if this is the one you're alluding to, but I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to try and find the one that I was talking about, too. It was on America's Got Talent, I think. It's just amazing. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Thanks for being with us. It is Monday, and we're leaving today at 5-ish to head to Pittsburgh, where Cards will try it again. Heartbreaker, way down, big comeback again, kind of the scenario we've seen before. But they gave it quite a run to try and come back against Florida State. Stay with us, ESPN 680-1057.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it,"
but then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist,"
or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.